Blog Talk Radio.
The churches and the camps
have misrepresented. Okay, and as I read it in the scriptures, as I read the scriptures, I read the letters, then I see clearly that this has been misrepresented. And a lot of the times what I'm finding is when the scriptures say anything about the law, people want to generalize that term. When the Most High is talking about the law, or when, you know, one of the apostles or disciples is talking about the law, that term, the law, is being too generalized, being applied to all of the laws of the Most High, when the conversation is not about all of the laws of the Most High. The conversation is very specific, and they're having a specific topic. But if you go in and you cherry pick the scriptures, if you go here and pick a verse and there and pick a verse, then you will generalize this word and you will not get the context by which the writer is talking about this particular word or this subject. And so this grace is one of these subjects that people have generalized along with the word the law. And so we're going to look at this on this morning. With that being said, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, everybody who is dialed in, who is called in, who is listening on the internet. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. On this morning, I want to take the time to acknowledge all the countries that we are currently broadcasting in, and let me check and make sure that no new ones have that there have been no new countries added. Just a second here. Go to the dashboard. Because this is important to us as a ministry that we are trying to get into every country that we can, that we have listeners there, and that they are passing along the truth of the word of the Most High. All right, we want to acknowledge our listeners in Afghanistan. We say Shabbat Shalom to each and every country and to those listeners who are online or listening through the internet. So we say Shabbat Shalom to Afghanistan, to Algeria, to Australia, to Belgium, to Brazil, to Canada, to Colombia, to Denmark, to Finland, to France, to Germany, to Ghana, to Ireland, to Italy, to Japan, to Mexico, to Netherlands, Nigeria, Poland, Portugal, Russia, Romania, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Tajikistan, Thailand, the United Kingdom, and of course the United States and Vietnam, the Republic of Vietnam. We say Shabbat Shalom to each and every one of you, and we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. You may have all the men uncover your head. Ladies, cover your head. Let us turn toward the east and let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory and honor and praise belong to you, O Yah. And we just bow down and give you thanks and glory on this morning, Father. And we give our worship to you, Father. Hallelujah. And we adore and we praise no other but you, Father. For you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. And there is none like unto you. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you on this morning, and we ask that you would be with us this morning, and that it would be your word that we hear, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Gloria. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. But Father, we want to acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways and turning from our sins. Father, our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, our scripture reading for today. I just want to get the bare minimum on this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And amen. All right, and remember your foundations of discipleship. I'm not going to go over them this morning, but you should go over them yourself and your time during the day, that you always forever before you, that this is what we as followers of Messiah must do, and it will keep us straight. All right, the blowing of the shofar.
Come on, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, yeah. Let everything loose. Lift up your hands as high as they can go. Come on. Take them up. Take them up. Take them up. If this is a sign of surrender, God, whatever you're trying to do, whatever you want to accomplish tonight.
All right. Amen. 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 Yah HaMashiach. Have your way this morning, Father. Hallelujah. We just turn it over to you, Father. I want to start off with the book of 2 Peter. And the title of this precept is Grace. And as we jump into this precept, I would pray that, you know, you pull out your Bible. I want you to write down the scriptures. I want you to underline in your book. Make notes, because this is a very important precept when it comes to salvation and when it comes to the interpretation of the scriptures. Second Peter, chapter 2, 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 15 and 18. And you're going to have to bear with me because I'm kind of doing this off the cuff this morning, as Most High leads me. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And account that long-suffering of our Lord and is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Now, I want you to pay attention to what Peter is saying here. Because he's talking about Paul. Now, Paul's going to say something about Peter when we go read about this in Galatians. But Peter was given the gospel to bring to the Gentiles. And Peter failed at it. And he allowed the Jews who were in Jerusalem to intimidate him. Okay? So Peter's writing concerning Paul. And also in all of his epistles, all of his letters, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned, and underline unlearned, and unstable, wrestle, they rest. And that word, W-R-E-S-T, is not the same as R-E-S-T. That means that you struggle with it. As they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. So you can misunderstand the scriptures. And you can misunderstand what Paul is saying to the Gentile nations and be in error and lead toward your destruction because it might think that Paul is telling you that you're not up under the law. You might think that Paul is telling you all you need is grace. So, with those that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as also the other scriptures. Not just Paul's writings he's talking about. Because those that are unlearned and unstable, they are unstable in everything. They will misinterpret, misunderstand just about everything unto their own destruction. So Paul says some things, and he writes about some things because Paul is a lawyer. And he's really writing in legalese. You don't read the entirety of Paul's writings. If you don't read the entire topic of what he's talking about and you cherry pick, you will not come to the correct understanding of what he is teaching. A message he is conveying. And today we're going to talk about the message of grace that Paul talked about. So in my email to you and in the text,
can you hear me?
Oh, good grief. All right, I'm sorry. I'm steadily talking and I am on mute. Okay, so I'm going to start over and that's my fault. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys receive a text from me this morning before I start into this again?
No, I received an email.
But no text, right?
No text.
Okay, there's something going on with my phone where it's not sending out text. So I just wanted to confirm that before I had to go to and delete a lot of text. I did that. They started working again, and then now they're back at it again. Okay, so I know what I need to do, I think, with that. But thank you for acknowledging. All right, so let's start over here. On this morning, we're going to be talking about grace. And we're going to start in 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. And I pray that you get your pencil and your pen and that you're taking notes, that you're underlining the scriptures, because this is important to the gospel, the message of the gospel, it's important to what brothers and sisters in both the Christian faith and in the Hebrew walk have done to this word and twisted it. Even this word of grace. Okay? So, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord, or of Yah, Yeshua, is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. So Peter is saying, hey, the account of long-suffering of Messiah is salvation, even as beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. But now he's going to say something about Paul's writing. As also in his epistles or in his letters, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Peter's like, everything that Paul writes about is not easy to understand. Okay? Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now this W-R-E-S-T is not to be at rest, like at ease, but to struggle with something. As they do also the other scriptures. So it's not just Paul's writings that people are twisting up, but it's all the way through the gospel and even through the law. Because people are unlearned and unstable. And then when we cherry pick the scriptures, when we cherry pick the scriptures, then we can make the scriptures say whatever we want them to say. But what we have to understand is you cannot understand Paul's writings on a particular subject by cherry picking the scriptures. You have to read the entire topic and understand what he's saying. Paul is a lawyer, and the Most High is using Paul to bring about the modifications to the law that he wants to bring. Okay? Not the deleting of the law, because we're going to read what Paul says concerning these things. So Peter says, Paul is writing some things that are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable struggle with, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. See, you can have a misunderstanding of these and damn yourself. You can have a misunderstanding of these scriptures and believe a lie. And so you got to always be looking for the Most High and asking him to reveal truth to you. So I wanted to, we're going to go to Galatians. And we're going to be in the book of Galatians because this letter to the Galatians, just like on last night when we were in the book of Acts, and we were talking about do the Gentiles have to keep the law? Now, again, when we see that word, the law, that is generalized. You could apply that to all the law. But that's not what the scriptures do. Not what the Most High does. Last night we learned that when it was talking about and keep the law of Moses, it wasn't talking about all of the law of Moses. It was talking about the law of circumcision. But because people see the law, they want to apply that to all of the law. And that's a generalization. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he's writing to them and asking them what happened. Because the bottom line is, remember from Acts chapter 15 last night, that I'm going to send brothers to you who are going to tell you, and I'm going to put it in writing also, who are going to tell you what's required for salvation to the Gentiles. And the Galatians are Gentiles. This is who he's writing to. And so when people are taking the, and even amongst the Gentiles, when they interpret these verses the way they're interpreting them, they are cherry picking Paul's writings. Okay, so let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And you're going to have to bear with me this morning, because I want to cover this topic.
Now in the conference.
And so we are going to You're going to have to bear with me as we read the scripture, because I want you to get the context. We don't want to cherry pick. Because if we cherry pick, then yeah, we can make the scripture say whatever we want to say. But I want to point out some things to you, have you to underline them in your book, make a side note, so that you don't do what the unlearned are doing to their own. So the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And I will stop where I need to. I'm just going to read. I'm going to point out some things. But I want us to understand what Paul is saying. Okay. Now, Paul is going to start off this by giving his own testimony. Okay, and what he went through. And I want you to pay attention also to the number of years that have gone by. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, and Elohim, the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you. Now, this grace is just a greeting. And this grace in this chapter, in this verse, is meaning favor. Okay? And that's what really grace means, is favor. You don't do anything for grace. You don't have to do anything for grace. Okay? Grace be to you, and peace from Elohim the Father, and from our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of Elohim and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed. Underline that. What are they removed from? That's what you got to ask yourself. I'm writing you this letter, and I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Mashiach unto another gospel. So somebody's running around preaching a different way to be saved, okay, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Now, remember the Pharisees that were troubling some of the brothers, saying you must be circumcised to be saved? This is what this letter and this book is about. This is what it's about, okay? And would pervert the gospel of Messiah. But though we or any or an angel from heaven, a messenger from heaven, because remember, an angel really just means messenger. So he's qualifying, though we're earthly angels, we're earthly messengers, or an angel from heaven, a messenger from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. For so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then you have received, let him be accursed. So if somebody tells you anything different than what went out from that letter, from what was told to you before about how do you receive salvation, what do you got to do to enter into the kingdom as a Gentile? Okay? Let him be accursed, because now they are going contrary to what the Holy Spirit has said. They're going contrary to what the ruling body in the church has decided. Okay? Or do I now persuade men or Elohim? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Messiah. If I'm out here trying to please men, then I'm not doing the work that Messiah assigned to me. I'm not here to please Messiah. I'm trying to please men. And men's ways are contrary to Messiah's ways. Men are sinful. Messiah was not sinful. So he's telling them, I'm here to please Messiah. And, you know, these men have their own understandings, and they have their own things that they think ought to be done, but they are contrary to the gospel, the true gospel by you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. No man taught me this. The Holy Spirit taught me this. Messiah taught me this. And Messiah taught me the revelation of himself. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion. How that beyond, now we know that he's not talking to Jews, or he wouldn't say it like this. He's talking to Gentiles. Okay? For you have heard my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of Elohim and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased Elohim, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, by his favor, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens, among those that are non-believers, amongst the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't check to them with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. I didn't go to the apostles and check to them either, because the Most High gave me this specific charge to do this, and he taught me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So he went into the desert of Arabia, and I think it was like 2 or 3 years. And the Most High was dealing with him in the desert. Turned back to Damascus, to where the Most High, when Messiah first blinded him. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And I abode with him 15 days. I stayed with Peter 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's or Yeshua's brother. I told you James was Messiah's brother. He was made the head of the church in Jerusalem. So Paul said, hey, after 3 years, I came back to Jerusalem. And I stayed with Peter 15 days. I didn't see any of the other apostles. James was not an apostle. Oh, scratch that. He was an apostle, but later. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before Elohim, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which were in Mashiach, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once was destroyed, which once he destroyed. And they glorified Elohim in my name. So Paul is giving his testimony. This is the history of my journey. And because the churches in Judea didn't know me by faith, they heard about me, and then they heard that I was now preaching the gospel. They glorified Elohim in that I was preaching the gospel, in me, that I was preaching the gospel. Galatians chapter 2. Now remember, the whole thing is, well, let's go back here because I'm doing a lot of talking. Remember that the gist of this letter is in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Jesus Christ unto another gospel. Okay. Now, Galatians chapter 2. Remember, that's what this letter is about. After I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation. and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. So I preached this gospel unto the Gentiles, and I preached it privately of those who were known, who had reputation, who were leaders amongst the Gentiles. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, now this is what this is all about, was compelled to be what? Circumcised. This is what this is all about. In this letter is really, this is really about, if I'm not mistaken, this trip that he's talking about is before Acts chapter 15. Now, the Most High may say different, but that's what I'm feeling right now, that this letter is before Acts chapter 15 takes place. Okay. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, Titus has a book in the scriptures, his own book. He is a Gentile. And he's not compelled to be what? Circumcised. But there was some Pharisees going around saying that it was necessary for the Gentiles to be what? Circumcised. Okay? And that because of false brethren, unaware brought in, there's some brethren, these were false brethren, they hadn't been converted. They came in unaware, they came in unnoticed. And they are wolves who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. So this is the gospel that Paul is teaching to the Gentiles. And there he's on his, when he goes on his way back to Jerusalem, he runs into some Pharisees that are saying there's need to circumcise them. Now that conversation hasn't taken place yet. Paul is out here in Galatia teaching to the Gentiles, you don't need to be circumcised. This is what this whole letter is about, okay? So this lines up with the conversation that we were having last night, the precept on do the Jews or the Gentiles need to keep the law. Now let's keep reading this. And that because false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which what we have in Yeshua HaMashiach, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, see, underline that word bondage. Now, the bondage that he's talking to is to a specific law. It's not the entire law. So when we see this phrase in here, I want you to understand that the topic is circumcision and the law of circumcision. That's what this is about. To whom we gave place by subjugation or subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, these guys who came in here privately, secretly, start preaching this stuff, we didn't pay them no mind. But these who seem to be like, they acted like they were somebody, seem to be somewhat. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Elohim accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. They didn't come to lift me up or encourage me or to enlighten me. They came to try to put a burden on the gospel that had not been put there. But contrary-wise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, line that, because this is the gospel to the Gentiles. The uncircumcision in these verses are going to be pointing to the Gentiles. But contrary-wise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, that's not talking about being circumcised or not being circumcised. The Gentiles were not circumcised. It was not their custom or their practice. It was a practice of circumcision in Israel. So Paul is saying, hey, I was given this gospel to give to the uncircumcision, the uncircumcised, the Gentiles. Peter was given the gospel to give to the Jews, those who are circumcised, Israel. Peter was first given the gospel to the Gentiles, but he failed. He got intimidated. We're going to read this. This is in this letter. Okay? For he that worked effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So this is not Brother Miles' interpretation. The word uncircumcision in up at top is concerning the Gentiles, and the circumcision is concerning Israel. Okay? And when James, Caiaphas, and John, who seem to be pillars, and underline that word, seem to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. Now James and Caiaphas and John seem to be pillars in the church at Jerusalem. They gave to me the right hand of fellowship when they saw the gospel that was given unto me, when they learned about it. That we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So you can just put unto the Gentiles and unto Israel. So you have an understanding of who's being sent where. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. I got in Peter's face. Why? Because he was to blame. What did Peter do? For before that certain came from James, that there had to be another letter from James. And I believe it's the book, the letter in James to the 12 tribes. Telling them who are scattered abroad. Before that letter came, he did eat with the Gentiles. Remember when the Most High sent Peter to Cornelius' house and said, hey, I'm removing this wall. I'm removing the ordinances that say you're not to mix with the Gentiles. And Peter in Acts chapter 10 tells Cornelius, hey, you know, I was against the law for a Jew to enter into the house or to keep company with one of another nation, much less eat with them. So Peter is eating with the Gentiles. But then this letter comes from James, or these men come from James. And Peter stops. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So Peter backed down to men. He backed down to his brethren. The Most High gave him the gospel to the Gentiles, and then Peter got afraid. He got afraid that he was going to, you know, he went to Jerusalem and told them that the Most High told him that to bring the Gentiles in. But when it came to actually doing the walk, Peter couldn't do it. And as soon as he was confronted outside of Jerusalem, he separated himself. Oh, well, you know, I can't look like I'm hanging with these Gentiles. I can't look like that. So Paul gets in his face. What do you think you're doing, dude? You were told to bring the gospel to the Gentiles so that they would be enter into the kingdom. You were told that it was okay to hang around among them, and you were doing it. And then when as soon as your brothers came about, those that you thought were of some importance, had some authority, you stopped. You withdrew yourself and you separated yourself. You didn't want to be seen with the Gentiles. What do you think that's going to do to the Gentiles? You said it's okay that we were, you know, we were invited into the kingdom, and now you're going to tell them that they got to separate themselves. You're going to tell them that you can't be with them. Threw him, withdrew, and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Verse 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him. Who were those other Jews? The ones that were like from Joppa that went with him when the Most High filled the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit. So we got a hot mess going on. And Paul said, I withstood him to the faith. You're the reason for this disconnect. You're the reason why people are going back and trying to do something that they don't have to be doing. That's not required of them. That's why I believe this is before Acts chapter 15. And other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Barnabas, like, hey, I can't hang with these Gentiles either. Showing is affecting the church, and it's affecting the entering in of the Gentiles into the kingdom. And he's putting on them something that's required. He's putting on them something that's not required, okay, for them. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? If you're living after the manner of the Gentiles, and you're mixing with them, not as the Jews, because the Jews who don't have the truth are not going to do this. You're not going to be eating and drinking fellowshipping with the Gentiles like you are. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, by birth, you're a natural Jew, you were born a Jew, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Underline, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners. Because being not a sinner means that you're not trespassing the law. As the Gentiles are, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Yeshua HaMashiach. Even we have believed in Yeshua, that we might be justified by faith in Christ. We're law keepers. We're not supposed to be ranked sinners. We're justified by faith in Messiah. So are the Gentiles, and not by the works of the law. Now, underline where you see works of the law each time. Because he's not talking about the entire law. He's talking about the law of circumcision. Not all of the law. And because he doesn't go back and say that, people will come to these verses individually and say he's talking about all the law. Now remember that the Gentiles are supposed to keep only certain laws as far as salvation goes, because they don't know the law. So there were some things that they were supposed to tell them to do. Hey, don't be worshiping other gods. Don't be eating meat that's strangled. Don't be eating blood. And don't be fornicating. Don't be having sex outside of marriage. You want to come into the kingdom? That's what's required. So it wasn't even defined what they were supposed to do at this point. But circumcision was not one of them. So Paul hasn't been teaching anybody to be circumcised to come into the kingdom. He tells you Titus is running with him. Titus is a Gentile. He's not been convicted to be circumcised. Peter, when you went to Cornelius' family, you didn't tell them to be circumcised. The Most High didn't tell you to tell them to be circumcised, to enter into the kingdom. This is the law that is being questioned here, not the entire law. So when he says you're not justified by the works of the law, you're not justified by being circumcised, because that would be a work of the law. But the law specifically that he's talking about. But if we seek to be justified by Mashiach, we ourselves also are found. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Elohim forbid. In other words, I'm not telling you not to keep the law. If we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, if we are ourselves also are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? Elohim forbid. Now, these Gentiles don't know all of the law. And we who are not supposed to be sinners, we're supposed to be followers of the law. If we be found to be sinners, are we saying that Messiah is therefore the minister of sin? Elohim forbid. So it's not talking about transgressing the law, all of the law. He's not talking about the works of all of the law. The problem is that these brothers in Galatia are trying to circumcise people, or have people circumcised, in order to enter into the kingdom. That's the problem here. Verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I repented of all that sin. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So when we come to Messiah and the gospel, Messiah died for our sins that are past. If we build again by sinning again, the things that you destroyed or he destroyed, you said you gave these things up. I make myself a transgressor. So everybody who comes into this gospel, into this walk, who don't give up the things that they know willfully are sin, the things that they confess, I know I was a liar, I know I was a thief, I know I was a fornicator, I know I was an adulterer, whatever things that you knew that you were, you confessed them when you came to Messiah, you said you gave them up. If you build again those things, you make yourself a transgressor. This is what Paul is talking about. If the law is done away with completely, then you can't become a transgressor. There's nothing to transgress. So he's not talking about the entire law. He's talking about the law concerning circumcision and that these Pharisees were going out and teaching that you got to be circumcised to be saved. This goes right along with Acts chapter 15 and 21. We didn't talk about 21 last night, but this is what this is in reference to. You are bringing these people into bondage. Again, telling them they got to do something that is not required. And Peter, you know, most I didn't tell you to have them circumcised. And you were sitting there and you were fellowshipping with them. But as soon as your brothers came around, you withdrew. You set a bad example. And you are the reason for this. You are to blame for this. Because now all our other brothers are trying to separate themselves from the Gentiles again. That's what's going on. Okay? For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Elohim. Being dead to the law doesn't mean that you're not doing the law. It's your reason. It's not your main, it's not the way you're justifying yourself. You have to still do the law. But it's not for salvation. It's so that you don't be, so that you are not become a transgressor again. Because people want to think that, hey, I can sin, and all I got to do is confess it, and it's okay, the Most High is going to forgive me, and I just keep doing this stuff over and over and over again and keep asking for forgiveness. Not what he ever intended. You don't want to make yourself a transgressor again. And this is what Paul is talking about. I am crucified with Mashiach. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Mashiach liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of Elohim, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you understand truly what Messiah did, laid down his life so that you could have a clean record and start over, that should be your motivation for keeping the law. Not to justify yourself so that you aren't in opposition to the Most High. You're not a transgressor. You're not a sinner. By faith in Mashiach, I'm going to keep this stuff because of what he did. I do not frustrate the grace, the favor of Elohim. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you could be righteous by keeping the law, which the law was never intended to give you righteousness, it was to show you that you are unrighteous. But you have to keep the law. So, if you can get into the kingdom without the work that Messiah has done, then he came in vain. He came for nothing. You could have did it on your own, but we couldn't do it on our own. They had no understanding of how it worked. And then we were born in trespasses and sin. We were conceived that way. All have sinned. How do we get out of that? Messiah. We come to him, confess we are sinners, turn away from it, forsake it, and we don't go back into it. Because when you don't find a reward except for one commandment where there's a reward in keeping the law. It always is, if you break it, Now, the Most High says, I will be with you, and I will give you favor, and that's your reward. But if you transgress the law, it's death. But he said the first promise he made was, honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long in the land. The first commandment with promise. So we got to understand that you don't justify yourself by saying, I'm so good. I keep all the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. I don't need Messiah. Because see, that's a perversion of the scriptures. That's a perversion of what the Most High has said. I have determined that all are up under sin. Everybody got to come through Messiah, and the law will not justify you that way. Because I made, even if you were keeping all of the law at that time, your very conception was sin. And you got to come from under that. And if you think that keeping the law is going to be able to bring you from under that, then you are mistaken. I've made it specifically where you can't sidestep Messiah. You can't make what he did be in vain. So let's keep going. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you did not obey the truth, for whose eyes Yeshua HaMashiach has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law. Were you keeping the law when you received the Holy Spirit? The answer would be no. Or by the hearing of faith. They received the Ruach. They weren't keepers of the law. But Yah saved them. He said, so how did you receive? Let's go back. Let me just only learn this one thing of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The Galatians heard it by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Talking about circumcision, the circumcision of their flesh. Because this doctrine is going around saying, hey, you got to be circumcised. That's what this whole letter is about. And it's not about the keeping of the entire law or the not keeping of the entire law or the cancellation of the law. It's not about that. It's about the Most High through grace says you're not required to keep all the law to come into his kingdom. He knows you don't know it all. So the same thing that we talked about last night. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are now made perfect by the flesh? Circumcision. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worked miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith. The miracles weren't done by the works of the law. The miracles were done by the hearing of faith and through the Spirit. Even as Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that you which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, that you believe that Messiah died for your sins out of faith, and that Elohim is going to bring you into his kingdom by faith, not by the works of the law. Because when Abraham, when Abraham was given this promise, the law had not been given. as something that mankind should have to keep. Even though Abraham obeyed the commandments that were given to him. And the scripture foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith. The scriptures would see this. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Abraham, you got faith. You believed the Most High. You obeyed his voice by faith. You didn't see the nations that the Most High was going to make of you. You didn't see all the land the Most High said that he was going to give to your descendants. You didn't see them possess it. But you believed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many are the works of the law, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not to, in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That is the curse of the law. If you break any of the laws, it is a death sentence. So Messiah came for everybody who was under the curse of the law to clean their slate up and let you start over. That's why I said we cannot be running around here willfully sinning. Because you put yourself back up under the curse of the law because you are not doing them all. But that's the church also. Okay, let's continue. Let's reread that verse again. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all these things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Elohim. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now the faith is that the Most High is going to save you. The faith is that Messiah came and died for your sins. The faith is that once you understand that, that you walk in that and you don't sin. You don't intentionally sin. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Mashiach has redeemed us of the law. That's what he redeemed us from, the curse of the law, which was death, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He died in our place so that we're not looked at as transgressors unless we, as he said up in the earlier verse, unless we build again that which was destroyed. We transgress again. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yeshua HaMashiach, that he might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls it or cancels it or adds thereto. Now Abraham and his seed, and to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said not, and to many, but as to one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Elohim in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The giving of the law didn't cancel out the promise, is what he's saying. The law was given 430 years after the Most High gave the promise to Abraham. So Abraham was counted righteous because he believed the Most High. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. Because he believed. And he walked in it. Now, let me find something here. Give me a hot second, because I want you to understand something. Finger here. We're in verse 17. Go to Genesis chapter 26. And let's get verses 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my commandments and my statutes and my law. The Most High taught Abraham, but the law had not been given to Israel. Abraham was taught the commandments of the Most High, was taught the statutes of the Most High, was taught the laws of the Most High, and he obeyed them. But that's not why the Most High used him. The Most High used Abraham because he believed. You're going to make of me all these nations? All the nations are going to be blessed in me? You're going to give all this land to my descendants? He didn't see any of that. He had to believe that in faith. Anything that you can see, that you have already obtained, you don't need faith for it. You already see it. You already have it. That's what faith is about. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That's what the definition in the Bible is of faith. The evidence of things hoped for. Seen them yet. That's what we as believers are supposed to have in Messiah. We haven't seen him. But we believe. And we walk in it. What the Gentiles had. This is what Israel didn't have. Israel saw Messiah and didn't believe. The Gentiles never saw him. They heard the gospel and they believed. That's the faith that he's talking about. He's not talking about not keeping his commandments and things like that. Abraham kept his commandments. Most High wasn't going to let Abraham walk before him in sin. But the law itself, written down and given to the nation of Israel, had not been given yet. 430 years later, after Abraham received the promise, the law was given to Israel at Mount Sinai. So understand that, okay? Abraham wasn't walking around this free spirit, doing whatever he wanted to do. Abraham obeyed the voice of the Most High. He kept what the Most High, he did what the Most High told him to do. That's what by means by keeping my charge. I charged him to leave his country, leave his father. I charged him to walk. He did it. He obeyed my commandments. Whatever I told him to do, he did it. Whatever statutes I gave him, he did it. Of my laws that I taught him, he did them. He kept them. That's why the Gentiles who come in up under faithful Abraham, once they start learning the laws, they need to keep them. Not say we're not up under the law. The Most High had grace, and he extended grace to the Gentiles today. You ain't got to be keeping all of my laws to come into the kingdom. Israel already has them. And when I clean up their sin, they're not to go back and transgress either. But you don't have them yet, Gentiles. So Don't worship no other God. Don't worship no other Elohim. Don't do a sacrifice to another Elohim. Don't eat blood. Don't strangle your animals when you kill them. And y'all just stop sleeping around with anything and everything. Stop fornicating. Stop having sex outside of marriage. If you do those things to get into my kingdom, you start off well. Fare ye well. Now, y'all going to be hearing about this law. And this law teaches you how to behave in the kingdom. But you don't have to be doing all of this to get into the kingdom. This is what he's talking about. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before in Elohim, in Christ, the law, that was the covenant that was confirmed, which was 430 years after, cannot annul or disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The promise that the Most High gave Abraham, that I'm going to bless many nations through you. And he's talking about Messiah. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. Because if I made this promise to you, and I didn't tell you you had to keep the law for this promise, you had to believe, then I'm going to bring in the Gentiles who simply believe. That's the promise. Now I'll bring in Israel if they believe. Because once you believe, if you really believe, then you're not going to do things to void out your promise. Or you're not supposed to do, if you really know what you're up against. Sin will void the promise out. Willful sin will void the promise. You have broken the covenant. That's why he uses the word covenant in verse 17. You have broken the covenant, which is the law. The new covenant is the law. Just modified some. But it's not going to cancel out the promise that the Most High made to Abraham. I'm going to bless many nations through your seed. And it wasn't talking about Israel. It was talking about Messiah. Messiah came out of Israel. It's really talking about through Messiah. Because they believed without seeing him. Let's continue. For if inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But Elohim gave it to Abraham by promise. The Most High never told Abraham, hey, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless your seed if they keep the law. Because then he wouldn't be able to bring the Gentiles in. And he knew that he would be bringing the Gentiles in. And they wouldn't know anything about his law. So he gave this to Abraham before he gave Israel the law and mankind the law as a whole to be keeping. Wherefore then, what for then serves the law? What is the purpose of the law? The law was added because of transgression. Men's hearts were evil continually. They were sinning, but they didn't have the laws of the Most High. But their nature was to be sinful. So I need to tell them that they're sinning. I need to tell them that they're transgressing. Then I can hold them accountable. Then I can give them a chance to walk right. The purpose of the law, it was added because of transgression. Kill the seed, singular, to come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one. I'm mediating with myself. No, a mediator mediates between parties, one or two groups. But Elohim is one. There's a mystery there. Not the subject of this lesson tonight, though, or this afternoon. Is the law then against the promises of Elohim? Elohim forbid. The law is not against his promises. The law was given to show us that we were in transgression, that we were going against the laws of the Most High, that we were offending him. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. I gave you laws because you were in transgression. Your nature was not to do righteousness. Your nature was not to do right. Period. Not the nature of man. The nature of man was to fornicate and to steal and to kill and to do all these things. That was his nature. Not everybody. But everybody has told what they would want to call a little white lie. You told a little white lie, you sinned. If you told a little black lie, you sinned. If you took something that wasn't yours and you knew it wasn't yours, I don't care what the value of it was, Char. If you took it by without permission, you sinned. You transgressed. So all have sinned. Is the law then against the promises of Elohim? Elohim forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come or should have been given by the law. The law was made to show you your transgression. But the scripture has concluded all understand that the promise by faith of Yeshua might be given to them that believe. Believe what? Believe that he is the son of Elohim, that he came to get them out of their sin. You have to believe. He came to Israel first. Israel didn't believe. Not all of Israel. Some in Israel did. But not all of Israel, not the powers to be. Not those that could affect change. The elders. The Pharisees and the Pharisees, the priesthood, the scribes. They didn't believe. But when the gospel came to the Gentiles, they did never see Messiah. They believed. This is the difference. It wasn't by the works of the law that they were saved. They didn't even have the law. Hope we can hear what he's saying here. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which could afterwards be revealed. You were given the law, and you were kept up under the law until faith. So the Most High was dealing with people only who dealt with the law. If you obey my voice, if you do everything I say to do. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now people will interpret that to say that they are no longer under the law. It's not what that is saying. That's why it uses that word schoolmaster. What do you go to school for? To learn. Once you learn what the transgressions are, once you learn what the law requires, you don't need to be taught it anymore. And you do good because of your faith in Messiah, or you do good because you want to be righteous with the Most High. But you don't do it to be justified. that you don't need Messiah. Because there's nothing that you can do about your birth. There's nothing that you can do about your conception. There's nothing that you can do about your own sin. Because sin required your life. And you couldn't shed your blood and pay for your sin because your blood was tainted. That's why we needed Messiah. So after the law has come, after faith has come, especially to those who have the law already, you don't need to be under a schoolmaster. You shouldn't be having to be taught anymore. If the law was done away with, then the Most High would have said, hey, you can worship anybody you want to. Just believe that I exist. Whatever you want to. Strangle it, shoot it, whatever. Don't matter to me. Oh, yeah, I don't like y'all drinking blood, but that's okay. That was something up under the law. No, the law is still in place. And what he was giving them was an overview and the bare minimum of the law. You can't be saying you are saved and you're worshiping. You're saved by Messiah and you're saved by the God of the Bible, but you actively worship another God. Then he should be saving you or she should be saving you. I hope we can hear this. So you are no longer under a schoolmaster. You shouldn't need to be taught. When you understand what Messiah came for, he came and paid for all your transgressions. So when you start learning what it means to transgress, you will surely stop through faith in Messiah. You know, he died so that I could be forgiven for that. So I'm not going to do that anymore. And as you learn more, can you stop doing it? Not saying that I don't need to be taught anymore, because the only ones that don't need a schoolmaster in these days would have been the Jews, but they lack faith. They knew what the law said, but they did not believe in Messiah, did not believe that they had to be saved through Messiah. Let's continue. For you are all the children of Elohim by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you've been baptized into him, then you put him on. You're not going to be willfully sinning. Paul said, because we are under Messiah by faith, can you in sin? Elohim forbid. If we rebuild that which we would destroy, we again make ourselves transgressors. So it's not that the law is gone away with, because if the law was done away with, then you couldn't become a transgressor again. How are you going to be a transgressor if there is nothing that applies, nothing that you can break? So the Christian will say, hey, Messiah just said, I got to love my brother and love the Most High as myself. Don't you know that all of the laws in Torah deal with how to love the Most High and how to love your brother? He never gave us permission to make it up. So Messiah says, the laws could be summarized in these two commandments. But these weren't specific commandments. They were overviews of the commandments. Summarize all the commandments. Love the Most High with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's summarized. summarizes the law. How do you do that, though? Now you got to go back into the specific law to see how the Most High says to do it. Oh, no, we just want to make it up. We want to do what we think is right. You got to go back into the law to find out how to do it. Okay. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Messiah. So there ain't no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Jew and the Gentile, male or female, bond or free. We are all one in Messiah.
Is now in the conference.
And let me mute you there. All right. And if you be Christ, if you be Christ, if you belong to Messiah, then are you to see Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you believe Messiah came and he died for your sins and you stop sinning, then are you Abraham's seed? Because Abraham obeyed the Most High. He kept his law, his commandments, his statutes, his ordinance, his judgments. So you got to keep it out of faith. Galatians 4. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. What is he saying here? This goes back to the only example that I can think of is when we were in slavery. Okay, and this is an example. And you were raising, our forefathers and mothers were raising the children of the slave man. So they would be the servant. But that master had a child. And you would be instructing the child. And at that point, the child would be doing what you as the slave said to do. No, don't do that. And the master would trust you with that, that you were going to raise their child according to the way they wanted them raised. And in that case, you were equal with that child. Even though you were over them, you were equal with them. But that child was going to grow up to be your master, even though he be Lord of all. Not talking about Messiah. That Lord is in relationship to that child. The heir to the heir to the property. But it's under tutors and governors. That's what the servant is, the tutor and the governors, until time appointed of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Understand. But when the fullness of time was come, Elohim sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We were children. The Most High sent us tutors and governors to teach us. And when Messiah came, it was to redeem us so that we could graduate and understand what the law was all about. That's why he came and clarified. You know, under the law, it is written by two or three witnesses. So if somebody be put to death without mercy, written in the law, that if you are caught in the act of fornicating, and it was with somebody who was already married, you were both supposed to be put to death. So he came so that we would understand. It is written that, you know, under the law, you had to be caught in the act of fornicating. You had to be caught in the act of adultery. That is written in the law. But up under the New Testament, under the new contract, I'm not requiring two or three witnesses. And I'm going to judge you. And I know your heart. So if you think about that thing too long, if you lust on it, I know that it was in your heart to do it. And you are guilty. No, you didn't actually have to commit the act. It's in your heart to do it. The only thing that happened was the opportunity to actually do it didn't present itself. But if the opportunity presented itself, you know, that's just a show as fine. I still wouldn't mind getting with her. Undressing her with your eyes. Undressing him with your eyes. Thinking how you might seduce him. If that brother ever talked to me, it's over. I'm going to throw something on him. He ain't going to never forget. But it never actually happened. It was in your mind. Messiah said, you sinned. It was in your heart to do it. So he clarified some things and he taught some things so that we could understand how we're supposed to be looking at this law, how we're supposed to understand the spirit of the law. You know, the Most High knew we weren't going to have oxen and sheep and all that forever. But what was the lesson and what was the intent of that law? Apply it. If you run into a situation, you know my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments. In other words, I think the world came up with this saying, what would Jesus do? Now, they don't know that Jesus would condemn you if you were found guilty, because I didn't come to condemn you. When I come back, I'm coming to condemn you. And I'm coming to rule this earth with a rod, like a rod of iron. I'm going to be strict. You want to know what I would do? Bring all those who won't obey me here and kill them in front of my face. See, they don't tell you that. Bring them all over here. That's what he would do. That's what he's going to do. But he says, right now, I'm here for your salvation. I'm here to open up salvation to you. I'm here so that you can get it right, so you can start over. I'm here to give you a clean slate and you can start over. And then, because you know that I'm doing this out of love, then I want your motive to be love in whatever you do. Problem is that everybody got a different definition of love. So we can't use our own definition of love. We have to use the Most High's definition of love. He has to be the standard. You have to use Messiah's definition of it. And John chapter 1, let's go to the book of John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. We'll come back here. We're in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. John chapter 1. And I want us to go down to verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, Messiah, to them gave he the power to become the sons of Elohim. To become. Even to them that believe, had faith on his name. So he just said it a different way in Galatians chapter 4, that you might be adopted as sons, as children of the Most High. This is what Messiah came to do. Got to believe that he came. Got to believe the message that he taught. He didn't teach men to sin. He didn't sin. And he didn't never say he was canceling out the law. Bring you from under the curse of the law. Transgression of the law. That's what he was removing all mankind from. The curse of the law. But if you go back and sin again, you just place yourself back up under it. That's why Paul said, don't build again that which you destroyed. You destroyed those works of sin. You repented and said, I'm turning away from it. Messiah says, okay, you do that, your slate is clean. You can start over. Now go and sin no more. Paul says, hey, don't transgress again. Go back to Galatians chapter 4. So you want to become a son of Elohim, a child of Elohim. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. No, let's start at verse 5. Galatians chapter 4, let's start at verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. Do you think it was the spirit of Messiah to sin? Do you think it was the spirit of Messiah to walk not according to the commandments of the Most High? When you get the spirit of Messiah, and when you're crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, when you claim the Most High to be your Father, you're not going to be willfully disobedient to him. You're supposed to know now. You're supposed to have understanding. So start off this way. You're only going to worship the Most High, not worship anything else, not going to be fornicating, have sex outside of marriage, not going to be eating animals strangled, and you're not going to be consuming blood. That's the start. That's to get into the kingdom. Then you got to learn the rest. And it's not so that you can be justified, because you've already been justified. Most I said, hey, if you do those four things as Gentiles, you can enter into the kingdom. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do that work. That didn't say that the Jew doesn't have to be slain on last night. That circumcision had to do with that problem, that promise he gave to Abraham for the land. You got to understand this is what this is talking about. And when it says the law here, except for where it says you are under contract to do the whole law, who are up under the law, that was Israel. But not to be saved. And as the Gentiles learn of Messiah, and as they learn of what is pleasing to the Most High, you're only going to find that in his laws. If you say, well, I love the Most High with all my heart. Well, how do you love him with all your heart? How does somebody show anybody how much they love them? How does your partner show you that they love you? You say, well, I don't like XYZ. And that's the very thing your partner do. I don't like you doing this. So they do that, knowing you don't like it. Does that show that? Does that show you that they love you? No, you're going to say, you don't love me. I said, I didn't want this. And you agreed, and you said you wouldn't do it, and here you are doing it. If you love me, you wouldn't do that. So if you love the Most High, then you would learn what pleases them and what doesn't. You're not going to find that in the New Testament. You're only going to find it in the Old. Bring it forward into the New. Okay. So the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Sign that He's going to let you stay in sin? You think He's going to let you continue to do what is not pleasing to Him? No. What you already know, you already know. He don't have to reveal that to you. But what you don't know, then He'll send somebody to you. You know it's wrong to do that. You know it's wrong to do that right there. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, let me show you right here in the Word. Oh, snap, I never knew that. I'll repent. I'll turn away from that. I won't do that no more. Or, you know, you're supposed to be doing this. I didn't know. That's acceptable with the Most High. He'll send somebody to tell you, to show you. Now, you can't say, I'm not up under the law, because these things are coming from the law. Let's go to, hold your finger here. And I want us all to get this. Those of you who have been in this walk for a minute, you know. Those of you who have not, this is going to be new for you. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. Behold, the day cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, Israel was his wife, Judah was his wife in relationship, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel. This is the covenant that the church and the New Testament saints are coming up under. This is the gospel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law where? In their inward part, and write it in their heart. Think the Most High is going to be the Elohim of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles don't have his laws in their heart. The answer would be no. But he understands that they're not going to have it all right away. And that every Sabbath in the synagogue, his laws are taught. There's going to be a long time that the world would go, I'm going to say, in a drought. And the church would be preaching the gospel, come to Messiah, and the world would be coming to Messiah, but not in spirit and in truth. They believed on Messiah and that he died for their sins by faith. But the relationship that the Most High wants with his church, people, they would be in error. I'm going to write my laws in their inward parts. Those that actively, truly sought after him. He would write his laws in their hearts. And they can't be saying it's not required. Can't be saying I don't have to keep them. They wouldn't be saying it. They would be keeping them to their faith in Messiah. Having faith in Messiah and being disobedient is not having faith in Messiah. Messiah said, go and sin no more. That's a commandment. Oh, no, he told that woman that. No, he's telling you too. Go and sin no more. Believe that I have come and that I've come to die for your sins. Now stop sinning. Paul, don't rebuild again the house that you destroyed, that house of sin, that house of bondage. Don't bring yourself back into bondage that way. But this is the new covenant. I'm going to write my law in their inward part and write it in their heart. That's the new covenant. That is the covenant that the Gentiles, all the heathen, those that are outside of Israel, are brought in under the kingdom. But we're going to start you off slow. And I'm not going to require that you be circumcised. So they want to apply this to the whole law. No, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I'm going to write my commandments in your heart. I'm going to write them in the hearts of Israel. I'm going to write them in the hearts of the Gentiles. And then you're supposed to keep it by faith in Messiah and what he did. Messiah came and died for my sins. I was a sinner. And whatever that sin was, you confessed it. And when you confess, that means you knew it was a sin. That means that it was willful because you knew it. And maybe some of them you didn't know was sin. You found out was sin. Those were doing ignorantly. Then you still confess them. But that's why a child, a baby, can't come to and shouldn't be baptized. What are they confessing? What do they know? They don't know what to confess. So why are you baptizing them? Go back to Galatians chapter 4. Just want to make sure we have an understanding of what the covenant is. The same covenant that he talks about in Hebrews chapter 10 or chapter 8. The same covenant. He references back to this. I'm going to write my laws in the inward parts. This is not anything new. Didn't say I'm going to come up with new laws. He already got laws. He already got a covenant that has laws and commandments and statutes and ordinances and judgments in it. Israel broke it. That's what he said. Hey, they didn't keep it. Now I'm going to make a new covenant. And rather than writing these laws on clay tablets, I'm going to write them in your heart. I'm going to write them in your mind. I'm going to give you the willpower to do them. And without being filled with the Spirit of the Most High, without being filled with the Holy Ghost, you will not be able to do this. You won't even be able to conceive how you can. You won't even have the willpower. Yeah, I'm only human. You know I'm human. How am I supposed to do all that? I can't do all that. That's because you're coming out of your own carnal understanding, out of your own carnal mind. So we got to understand. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4, I believe is where we were at. Say, how be it then? when you knew not Elohim, you did service unto them which by nature are no God. He's talking to the Gentiles. When you knew not God, when you knew not Elohim, you did service unto them which by nature are no Elohim. They're not a God. You serving wood and stone. It can't get up. It can't talk to you. It can't do nothing for you, but you're sitting here making sacrifices to it, worshiping it like it can do something for you. But now, after you have known Elohim, and rather are known of Elohim, how you turn again to the weak and beggarly element, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, and that's not to say that you're not supposed to honor the times of the Most High. Talking to Gentiles, did they ever honor the times of the Most High? The days and times and months and years that they honored were not the ones the Most High said to. They were doing it to something that was not a God. Afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. Now, listen to what he's saying. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. Do you think Paul didn't keep the feast days of the Most High? I guarantee you, if you go look in this book, Paul's trying to make it back for the feast days all through this book. I need to be back for Pentecost. I need to be back for Passover. He's keeping the feast days of the Most High. He's telling the Gentiles not to observe their time. But see, people in the world, they make up all kind of days to worship whatever. In this era, I can't speak for any other era of time, but men have adopted observance of their own times and then tied Messiah to it. And just one example of that, and all of them, they have done this too, but I'll just give you one example that I know you know of. Christmas. Christmas is not any kind of date in the Bible. And it's definitely not a day that the Most High said that Israel and the world is supposed to keep. But the world says, you know what? We want to honor Messiah. And we want to honor his birth. And so we're going to name the date December 25th. And we're going to celebrate his birth on that day. The Most High never ordained that. Not only is it the wrong day, but it's actually a day that was dedicated to another God, not him. And they wanted to keep doing it. So let's just say that we're honoring the Most High God, the birth of Messiah, and we'll keep celebrating this holiday, even though it was dedicated to Zeus. We'll keep celebrating it, but we'll say that it's the birth of Messiah. And we'll celebrate his birth on that day. Paul said, I'm afraid of you. Because I've taught you in vain. I've labored in vain. That's tied to another God. If you can't tie to another God, how are you going to be celebrating a holiday that's not ordained? Because you're worshiping that holiday, that holy day is to that God, whomever it may be. Let's keep going. So be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of Elohim, even as Yeshua HaMashiach. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So Paul must have had an issue with his eyeballs, the women, in a way he wasn't supposed to. He don't say exactly what that temptation was, but it had to do with his eyes. And he said, you would have plucked out your eyes. I know. If it were possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. So, in other words, it's good to be excited about doing something and actively doing it. It was a good thing always, not just when somebody's around. So you know how you try to act like you all pious and righteous and all that stuff when the man or the woman of God is around, but when they ain't around, you doing all kind of manner of sin. Ain't nobody going to see me. Don't nobody know. This is what Paul's talking about. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you, until Mashiach be formed in you, supposed to becoming Christ-like, desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaiden, the other by a free woman. Again, this law is being generalized here. Okay? But he's not talking about, when you get to the gist of what he's talking about the law of circumcision. For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman by promise. Which things are, this is an allegory. This is an example. For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Agar. So it's taking you back to Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. Hagar was the bond woman. Sarah was the free woman. So he's telling you that this allegory is about the two covenants, the one given to Abraham at Mount Sinai and the one given through Messiah. Watch this. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Jerusalem was in sin. The city of Jerusalem, the men that were in Jerusalem, the Jews that were in Jerusalem, they were just as crooked as they wanted to be. Even though they said they were keeping the law, they weren't. Messiah came and proved them that, hey, you're making up your own traditions, and your traditions are causing you to break the commandments of the Most High. And you're putting other men in bondage, and not even with the truth. So he says that this first covenant represents, which is Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, the covenant that was found at Mount Sinai. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. So go to Revelation chapter 22. the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Oh, we're after the hour. We're going to finish this up because I don't want to do this evening. But we'll finish this up. Hold on. Let's go to Revelation. What the heck? What did my Bible keep doing that? Probably because I keep clicking, huh? Chapter 22. I'm sorry, 21. Revelation chapter 21. Saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the bride of Messiah, the new Jerusalem. The children of the kingdom are the children of the new Jerusalem. Another different lesson. This is what he's comparing to in Galatians. Go back to Galatians. And we were at verse 25, 26. Verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So, you have to go back and read about how Isaac was conceived and how Sarah was barren and how the promise was made to Sarah and Abraham. But then Sarah didn't believe that the Most High was going to be able to do it. So she said, here, take my handmaiden, Hagar, the bondwoman, and make a child so that you'll have an heir. But the Most High says, I made that promise to you and Sarah, not to you and Hagar. I'm going to honor the seed, the offspring you had with Hagar. But that's not the promised seed. That's not the seed of promise, okay? It's Isaac. So now we, brethren, as Isaac was the seed of promise, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Now, Sarah was afraid that Ishmael would attack Isaac, and I think on some occasion he did. And the potential was there for him to kill Isaac. I don't know what happened there. But the potential was there for him to kill Isaac. All right, welcome back, Sister Mary.
Thank you.
So Isaac had to go. Not Isaac. Ishmael had to go. So the Most High kicked Hagar and her son out of the camp. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So, Abraham, here, take my bondwoman, sleep with her and make a child. The bondwoman gets pregnant. Say, see, I can give you an heir, and she can't. She despised her mistress. Start, you know, talking bad to her and everything. But the one thing you got to understand is that Hagar became Abraham's wife. He didn't just sleep with her. She was his wife also. But then the Most High said, kick them both out. Now, she was Abraham's wife, but she was still Sarah's bondmaiden. She was still Sarah's slave. And Sarah had control over whatever happened to her, not Abraham. So that's a strange relationship. Here, I'm going to give you my bondmaiden, my slave, to have a baby with. And she's going to become your wife, but I still got control over her. She's my slave. If I want to kill her, I can kill her. That's what was going on there. She didn't want to kill her. She said, hey, drive her out. Send her out. And the Most High said, yep, send her out, because heir with your seed. The Most High still blessed Ishmael, but he was not going to be part of the seed of promise and his heirs. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What bondage is he talking about? Is he talking about the law? The yoke of the law? All the law? No, that's not what he's talking about. Let's see what he's talking about. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, he's talking to the Gentiles. If you get circumcised, Messiah is not going to be of no effect to you. You're not going to, you know, you didn't gain anything by coming to Messiah. But you think you got to keep the law of circumcision to be saved. But that was never given. That law and that commandment was never given. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now he's talking to the Gentiles, and remember the Gentiles were told what? Took no other idols. Don't eat blood. Don't strangle your animals. Don't fornicate. You want to come into the kingdom. Now you're trying to go back up under the law and be circumcised under the law of Moses, like the Jews say. Okay? So if you're going to do that, then you got to keep the rest of it too to get in. If you think that's how you're supposed to be saved, then you got to do all of it. Christ, Messiah, is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law are fallen from grace. Now, as I said, if you come in and you cherry pick this thing, you don't know that he's just talking about the law of what? Circumcision. You get this one verse or verses on their own, you think he's talking about the entire law, all of it. He says, no, you don't. You got to still keep the laws or else you make yourself a transgressor again. But you're trying to come into salvation. So you are, have fallen from the grace that was given you. The Most High said, no, you ain't got to keep all the law to get in. You ain't got to be keeping it already. Just stop these necessary things. Now, I truly believe in my spirit that Acts chapter 15 has not happened yet. And I could be wrong, and I have to pray to the Most High on that. But I believe Acts chapter 15 has not happened yet, and Paul is out there amongst the Gentiles. And he is telling them, this is how you come into the kingdom. And then you got these Pharisees going around saying, hey, you got to be circumcised to enter into salvation. And it's not what Paul taught them. So now they're going about trying to get circumcised. And they're having a problem with it, too. Some of them are doing it. Some of them are not. but it was never a requirement. So it's going back to that law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Yeshua neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. As a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through Yeshua that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, he's bringing it back to this circumcision. Who do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. Now we know that the ones that were going around saying this, and we'll stop here. We know that the ones that were going around saying this were some Pharisees, came out from the church in Jerusalem. That confrontation is made in Acts chapter 15. So Paul is not talking about that you, by grace, you're not up under all of the law. He said, the Most High extended grace to you, Gentiles, that you don't have to keep the entire law to come into the kingdom. You don't have to keep the law of Moses concerning circumcision. That's what you don't have to keep. Titus wasn't circumcised. He wasn't convicted to be circumcised, and he's a believer, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter taught that the Most High said that the Holy Spirit told him that the Gentiles were supposed to come into the kingdom. He even went to their house against the law, ate with them, slept there, stayed with them. And as soon as some of his brethren came around, even after he went to Jerusalem and told them, when he went back to Joppa or Caesarea, wherever it was, and he was intermingling with the Gentiles, eating with the Gentiles, as soon as his brethren came around, he ran. And he caused some other of the brethren to run because he was afraid of his brethren, of the circumcision. Even Peter at that time didn't know, Peter was a fisherman. He did what the Most High told him to do. Go to Joppa. Give them the gospel of the kingdom. He didn't tell Peter, go to Joppa and circumcise them. Peter went to Joppa, gave them the gospel of the kingdom, and then they received the Holy Spirit, and then he baptized them. He never mentioned one time that they needed to be circumcised. James and some other Pharisees at the church are going around. The Pharisees went out and said, hey, it's necessary that they be circumcised and fulfill the law of Moses concerning circumcision. That in Acts chapter 15, when Peter stood up and said, hey, the Most High said that the Gentiles were to enter in, it wasn't nothing about no circumcision. He said to me about that. Why are you going to put that yoke, that burden on the debt? And he brought them in. He gave them his spirit just like he did us. So how are you going to put this yoke on them? This is what this whole thing is about. So when he says, if you keep the law, if you think you can be saved through the keeping of the law, it's not talking about the whole law. It's not saying that if you try to keep the law, can't be saved or that you've fallen from grace. He's telling them the grace that was extended to you is that you don't have to do all this to enter in. And if you think you now have to do all this, then you have to keep all of it. If you think you got to be circumcised to enter into the kingdom, then you got to keep it all. To enter in. Just like the Pharisees were saying. But that's not what you were taught. So for us today, we got to understand that we are saved by grace. After we are saved, that doesn't mean that we are not up under the law. That doesn't mean that we can transgress the law. Because we say we're not under, it don't apply. It does still apply. The Gentiles never had to keep the entire law to enter into the kingdom. But once you enter into the kingdom, then they actually do need a schoolmaster. Israel was the one that didn't need a schoolmaster, but Israel needed to be retaught again about faith, about believing in Messiah. So when you are compared to the seed of Abraham, Abraham believed the Most High, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness, as faith. But Abraham obeyed the commands of the Most High. We read that in Genesis. So how then are we going to think that we don't have to obey? Messiah never said that the law was going to be canceled out. Let's go and see what Messiah said, and then we will call it a day. Go to Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. Well, we're going to get two places. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away. You still on the earth? Has heaven and earth passed away? One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. When the new heavens and the new earth, as we read in Revelation chapter 21, as for the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down. Let me get one more place. Go to Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. Let's get verse 31. Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Well, let's get 30 and 31. Because it really sums it up. Seeing it is one Elohim, which shall justify the circumcision, Israel, by faith, and the uncircumcised, the Gentile, through faith. Do we then make void the law? Do you cancel out the law through faith? Elohim forbid. Establish the law. So the law that is being talked about in Galatians, that if you try to save yourself by the keeping of the law of circumcision, as a Gentile, you have fallen from grace. That's not that you don't, as a Gentile, don't have to keep the law, all the law, except for that. and whatever he said. Coming in, you don't need to know or keep all of the law of Moses to be saved. But after you come in, you are to learn about it and keep it. And whatever you're doing that is of the law that condemns you, you confess it. He says, then I'm true and just to forgive you. I'm true and just to forgive you. That which you what you learn to do, you confess it. Oh, I'm in sin. I didn't know this was a sin. You confess that he is true and just to forgive you. But that which you know to be sin, you can't continue in that and then say, oh, he's got to forgive me for it. No, when you confessed it the first time, you knew. So you can't go back and do those things because you already know they're sin. You don't need to be taught about those. Out of belief. Yeah, that's a sin. I'm not doing that no more. Christ died for that. Messiah died for that. My slate was clean for that. I'm not going back and transgressing again. But you cannot come to the conclusion that we're not up under the law, Jew or Gentile. Your faith does not make void the law. But by faith in Messiah, you establish the law. And you don't establish your own law. You learn what is right and wrong. And then you do it and you establish it in your life, in your walk. So I pray that we've got an understanding that when it's speaking of and it's saying that if you believe that in the way that the scripture is written, that if you believe that you can be saved by the law, you have fallen from grace. He's talking about to the Gentiles concerning the law of circumcision, not all the laws of the Most High. And the scriptures tell us that the Holy Ghost and the elders in Acts chapter 15, the Holy Spirit convicted James and the elders at Jerusalem. That, hey, all you got to do, if you're a Gentile, all you got to do are the necessary things. You do not have to keep the entire law to come in. But you have Moses being preached every Sabbath in the synagogue. And I think, it's still there. So are there any questions concerning this matter?
Okay.
Or was I clear as mud?
It was clear to me.
All right, amen. If you're on the phone and you have a question or a comment, press the number 1. I know you want to say something. If you are on the 480 number, I will unmute your phone right now. Well, we want to make sure that we understand that.
No question.
All right, amen.
All right, amen.
We keep the laws of the Most High
by faith.
We establish them by faith. We do not say that we're not up under
them.
Or that we have fallen from grace. If we tell a Gentile you got to be circumcised to enter into the kingdom, then we are telling them a lie. And Paul says, hey, you should receive the punishment you deserve for telling them that. Because it's not required for the Gentiles to enter into the kingdom. Again, I say to enter into the kingdom. Once they are in the kingdom, then every Sabbath, the law of Moses is supposed to be preached, and they are supposed to be attending those teachings. And the church actually is supposed to be teaching the laws of Moses, those that apply. But they're not. They have chosen to say they don't want to be up under the laws of Moses, which they're saying they don't want to be in the covenant. As Moses says, the new covenant, I'm going to write my laws and my commandments in your heart and in your mind. So the church can't say that, well, you know, we're not up under that. Again, as said, you are unlearned and you are twisting the scriptures to your own damnation because you're not understanding what you're saying and you're not taking the scriptures in context and you're not taking what Paul in context. When he says the law, he's not talking about all of the law. He's talking about the law concerning circumcision. With that being said, there are no other questions or comments. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. If I cannot love you like the Most High loves you, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Shalom, Brother Miles and family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. Peace and blessings to everyone.
You too, brother.